Well, folks, this faith of ours is a bit like the tide, which ebbs and flows. It comes in and it goes out. Now, each of us is called to come. Jesus invites us. He says, "Come to me." But having been called, he then sends us out. And this is, as we described last week, what is described as the Great Commission. There was Jesus with his disciples one last time. And what does he do? He commands them to go. To go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. And this is what we call the Great Commission. Now today we see how those first disciples began to take seriously the commission that Jesus had given them. We see how they began to act upon his command that they go out. Their obedience to the command to go was what defined them, those first Christians. Now, the first thing to say, I think, is that we must become sensitive to the promptings of God. I believe 100% that God will speak to us, his people, as we open ourselves to him. But don't be fooled. He won't email or phone. It won't always be as obvious as that. Often, of course, he will speak to us through the scriptures in the Bible. But there is no doubt about it that sometimes God prompts us inwardly. Now, here it's described as an angel of the Lord. I'm quite happy to interchange that language with the Spirit of the Lord. That prompting inwardly that we need to become sensitive to in our lives to recognize that indeed it is the prompting of the Lord. Yesterday, I think I got a little prompting from the Lord. In a completely different circumstance to Philip. I told you last week, yesterday, there were people climbing Munros all over Scotland in aid of Christian Aid, and all of the monies raised from that are going to the earthquake appeal for Nepal. Yesterday, I was on my own on Buccleuch Moor, just one of the finest mountains there on Glencoe. Now, there was plenty of snow there, and as you get towards the top, the kind of crux of getting up that mountain, well, let me tell you, the snow got extremely steep, and at the top, there was a cornice, which means that the snow sort of banks out, and the snow was so soft that my feet were just sinking back, and I was so aware that there was a long drop below me, but I was determined I was going to get to the top. This was for Nepal. This was for the people who have suffered so much. And then I got what I can only describe as a nudge. An inward nudge. A prompting of the Lord. And it was clear to me, it said this, "Go down." And I did. Who knows? Maybe I would have made it, maybe I wouldn't, but I sensed a nudging saying, "Go down." We need to become sensitive to the way that God might prompt us in our lives. Maybe today, or maybe tomorrow, God is going to give you a nudge, an inner nudge. Now, Philip had learned to be sensitive to those nudges and to be obedient to them. And so when the angel of the Lord, when the Spirit of the Lord nudged within him, he was obedient and went as ordered, as commanded, as commissioned to this road, a road that is still there today, leading from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now let's just remind ourselves of the setting in which this is taking place. One of those first followers of Jesus was Stephen. Stephen had been stoned to death, and that seemed to kind of open the floodgates. And we read that a great persecution broke out against the church following the stoning of Stephen. So most of the Christians in Jerusalem at that point fled for their lives. It's worth bearing in mind that Christians still across the Middle East, in our day and age, are suffering persecution because of their belief in Jesus. And still today, Christians are in effect becoming refugees. That's what happened to those early Christians. They were driven out of Jerusalem. But notice this. They preached the word wherever they went. Ask yourself what you might have done. If you had just seen one of your closest friends stoned to death because of his belief in Jesus. If you had been chased out of town with threats of torture and death ringing in your ears, don't you think that you might just have lain low for a while? Don't you think you might just have kept quiet for a while about what you believed? But not those early disciples. It was as if they couldn't keep quiet. They had seen for themselves Jesus was alive. It was bursting out of them and did so at every opportunity. How can we keep quiet, was what they said. John and Peter, two of those early disciples, said the very thing. We cannot help speaking about Jesus, about our faith in him. You see, for too many of us, it's a question. Will we or won't we share our faith? Those early Christians couldn't help sharing their faith. Oh, how we need to recover that same kind of enthusiasm, that same kind of bursting out faith. We cannot help speaking of what we believe. Now, as those Christians were dispersed from Jerusalem, Philip was among them. He left Jerusalem and went to Samaria. And there we hear that he proclaimed Jesus to the crowds. Do you know, folks, there are times when proclaiming to the crowds is the way. Here's perhaps the greatest evangelist of our time. Beginning way back in the 1950s, Billy Graham, American evangelist, has spoken to more people about Jesus than anyone else who ever lived. There are times when that crowd evangelism is the way to go. There are people in our church today who I know are following Jesus today because of the witness of Billy Graham. He used the technology of the day that was available to him. Stadiums and PA systems, and then television, and then satellite links to communicate Jesus all over the world. You know, that's exactly what we're doing today. Even here from St. Andrew's Church, we're using the internet, today's technology, to reach out beyond our own walls. There are times when evangelists in big stadiums is the way to go. But here is a very important truth. Most people discover faith for themselves through low-key, one-to-one relationships with someone like you. Thank God for Billy Graham and big-time evangelists. But oh, how God needs people like you. Ordinary folk who will never stand on a stage, who will never be televised and broadcast around the world. Folk like you who will share your faith with others. That's how most people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's the way that most people stay believing in Jesus, through relationships one with another. So we just read that Philip was speaking to the crowds in one moment, and then he finds himself one-to-one, sharing his faith on a personal level with one other person, the Ethiopian Chancellor of the Exchequer. This reminds us that the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for ordinary, everyday folk. And the gospel is for the high and mighty. Now, I know you won't all get a weekend at Balmoral Castle with the Queen, like some of us have had. But whoever and wherever our calling is to share the gospel, as Philip did. Now, in Philip's example in the story, there are some very important lessons for us about the sharing of our faith. See how this man was clearly interested already in spiritual matters. He was not a Jewish person, and he certainly had never heard of Jesus, but he was interested in spiritual things. That's why he had traveled all the way from his own country to Jerusalem. You might say he was a seeker. And then, as he returned from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, we hear that he was reading the prophet Isaiah. He was interested in spiritual things. Folks, there are people today, still, in 21st century Scotland, who are interested in spiritual things. Now, I'm quite clear about this. There are also people who are closed. Closed hearts, closed minds. Folks who will say to you, don't want to know, not interested, never have been, never will be, go away. I think in those circumstances, we respect that, and we back off. But there are people who are spiritually open. There are people like this Ethiopian who are seeking for the truth, who are seeking for meaning in life. And our role is to come alongside them as Philip drew alongside the Ethiopian. Here's what we get. The Spirit of God. Notice again, Philip being obedient to the nudging, the inner nudge of God. The Spirit of God. Go to that chariot and stay near it. We've got to get near. We've got to get near to folk. We've got to draw alongside people. You know, one of the worst mistakes that Christians make sometimes at least, they spend all their time with other Christians. How can you share faith with others if all your time is spent with those who share your belief already? We have got to stay near to others. We've got to spend time in the company of other people. And in that way, it will become clear to us that there are those who are open to the matters of the faith. Now, having drawn alongside this Ethiopian in his chariot, notice that Philip begins with a question. Here's another mistake that Christians often make. They start by giving their answers. How do we know what to answer when folks have never even asked the question? So Philip begins with questions. Says to the man, "Do you understand what you are reading?" We've got to begin often with questions rather than telling ourselves that we've got all the answers and just shoving them down people's throats. Begin often with questions is good tactics. Well, the man in question, the Ethiopian, he says, "How can I understand it unless someone comes and explains it to me?" I am meeting people day after day in my life who have only the vaguest idea of what Christian faith is about. Only the vaguest idea. And they've got perceptions and misunderstandings that they've picked up along the way. Oh, how they need people. People like you to explain to them what this faith of ours in Jesus is actually about. So sometimes our role is about explanation. But then notice the next bit, because this is so important. The Ethiopian invites Philip to come up and tell me all about it. Invitation is everything. If you, in some kind of attempt to share your faith, go too fast without waiting for that invitation to do so, then time and again you will find your attempts to share your faith rebuffed. We wait. And often as not, an invitation will come. We can't force our way in. We can't bash people over the heads with it. Particularly in an age like ours, when the church has lost much of its legitimacy in the nation, we need to be very discerning and wait to be invited. But you will never get that invitation unless you get alongside people, unless you form relationships with folk. And then, with Philip, the discussions began. Starts off with questions, of course. The Ethiopian says to Philip, "Look, the man that we're reading about in the prophet Isaiah, who was that? Was he talking about himself or someone else?" I will long remember the first night of our Alpha course, which took place in the autumn. We could have been there till 11 o'clock at night with the questions that were coming from those who came to the Alpha group. We need to give people space to ask their questions, as the Ethiopian did to Philip. But then the discussion begins, and here's what we read. Philip told him the good news about Jesus. He shared with him the good news about Jesus. Two things I want to say. Number one, it's good news. I think Christians need reminding of that. Actually, what we've got is good news. Cheer up, would you? It's good news. He died for us and rose again and is with us even now. That is the best news, not just good news. But I fear that if you were to ask the average person in our nation today, what do you think of the church? My fear is that they would not be saying, oh, they're folk with good news. They'd be saying stuff like, well, they're homophobic bigots. They're hypocrites. They're this, that, and the next thing. We've got to become known again as people who have good news and good news to share. There is a perception that needs challenged. And who can do it if not us? So we remind ourselves, we share good news as Philip did. But this is the really important bit. We remind ourselves that ultimately we only have one thing to share. Jesus. He shared with them the good news about Jesus. You see, in sharing faith, I'm not trying to attract someone to myself. Who am I? I am a flawed human being like everyone else. What would be so good about someone getting to know me in their life? How would that change their life? How would that bring healing into their life? How would that bring hope into their life? How would that bring them transformation? I've got nothing to offer other than this. I can point people to Jesus. That's what Philip did. And that is our role as we share our faith. We're pointing people ultimately to Jesus. And then notice this. They traveled along the road together. You see, again, I say thanks be to God for Billy Graham. But he flew in and out of cities, set up stand, preached the gospel and moved on. We need people who are sticking around. On average, it will take someone 4 years to come to faith in Christ. That's from a first interest to saying, I believe. On average, 4 years. So as people who are going to share our faith, we need to be prepared to hang around or to travel along the road with. Pray that in the end of that journey, the folks that we get alongside will, like the Ethiopian, see and believe for themselves. But we've got to walk with. We've got to spend time with. I know how important it is and how valuable it is that Christians share fellowship one for another. You need to spend time during the week with other Christians if you're going to grow in your faith. But you've got to get alongside other folk. Relationships must build before there will be proper opportunity to share our faith. Until we get to that point when we can say, hallelujah! When the people that we are alongside will, as the Ethiopian, come to the point of believing in Jesus and will want to be baptized into the faith and become followers of Jesus. Who will that be in your life? Who will you have opportunity to share your faith with? Who will you spend time with? Whose questions will you listen to? Who will you explain to? Who will you talk with and walk with along the way? Ask God to start nudging you, to start prompting you that you might become aware of who these people will be in your lives. So we thank God for Philip, one of the first Christians to start sharing his faith. But he is now in the pages of history. It's up to you now. We must be a generation of those who will share our faith. Let's bow our heads.